Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in Forsyth County, Georgia, welcome to the Retirement Planning and Wealth Management Podcast, brought to you by Web Wealth Advisors. Visit webwealthadvisors.com for their full scope of services. Now here's your host, Paul Webb.
Welcome all the listeners today to Web Wealth Advisors Podcast. It's a great day. Praise the Lord. And I've got a tremendous guest that I'm very honored and privileged to have here, Mr. Brian Peart. All right. Well, it's tremendous to have you, Mr. Brian.
Thank you
for coming on. And I want our listeners to hear about your amazing background with your faithful and spiritual way, being a tremendous family man, Rotarian, entrepreneur, everything. Please share.
Well, I've owned this company since 1995. I started it. It was a residential mortgage company in Florida. We expanded and grew very large. We at one time started commercial and publishing, and at one time we had about 700 branches around the country, so we were really large. Wow. That was before 08. And then 2008 really, because it was all commercial at that point, it just went under. Kind of what's starting to happen in residential now.
Sure.
It happened to us in commercial in 08. And I had to re-engineer my business, become more of a producer myself, because I was a CEO prior to that, you know, and now I had to go back in and bring in business and start and grow the business that way. God used it as a way of humbling me. Now I didn't cause Lehman to go under. Okay. But I really do think that God allowed that to happen. And one of the side fruits of that was the pruning of me, the growing of, humility and things like that in me that set the stage to grow, you know, as a person. It was a really rough time. I did go through a divorce and my business went under, and I didn't fold it. I just fought back to get it back to profitability, but that took a number of years. And so it was just a tough time, but through all tough times, as you know, God is faithful, and you know, he grew me. And so now I'm actually the number one commercial mortgage broker in the country, and
wow.
I do more volume than anybody, and you know, I'm like you said, I'm serving in my local church, and you know, I've got six kids, and you know, they're all work, and even though most of them are out of the house, they've grown and they're out of the house, it's still amazing how often, you know, they need us. And
yes, thank God.
You know, and it is kind of neat. You know, I just brought my daughter to college, and the first week or two, man, she was texting me 3 and 4 times a day. But like, I've had to text her now a couple times this week because she's stopped texting, because she's starting to get comfortable and, you know, in her groove, and she's, you know, she's moving that way. So yeah, they always still need you, you know. So but anyway, so I'm just very involved. I talk to a lot of small businesses, and I have a good grasp on all of it. And you know, we have our own private money, so we're doing really well. We're holding up well, you know, even with these rates going up.
Oh, good. Sounds like you learned a lot from the 2008 challenges. Ironically, I went through exactly the same thing.
Really?
I lost my business. I was not able to revive it. I had to go to new industries and grow businesses and do things.
Wow.
Yeah. And lost a marriage as a result. All the pressure, financial pressure.
We got a lot in common, though.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I have blessed to have 5 children and 8 grandchildren.
Wow.
And not a day goes by I don't get requested some time on my service or my pocketbook to help out financially or otherwise. But I'm happy to do it, and I'm so grateful to God that I'm in a position to do that.
I don't have any grandkids yet. I can't wait.
Yes,
that's like my
fun.
Next.
You get to spoil them, feed them things they shouldn't eat.
Throw them away and throw them back. Parents, yeah. You know? Yeah, I can't wait.
But they love you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we want to hang with them. But I, like you, was extremely humbled in 2008, and it really broke me down to my knees and realized that I had absolutely no control over anything, mm-hmm. probably no influence on anything, and no capability to do so without mm-hmm. the pure strength of the good Lord and Savior. And I just rely on that every day. I'm 100% dependent upon it, and I will not start a day without a verse read and a prayer. Mm-hmm. To start the day.
My morning quiet time is my most important time of the day.
Yes, yeah. sir. Yes, yeah. sir. I feel really horrible if I'm taking a grandkid somewhere they got to be, and I haven't read my Bible, so I just throw it in my car and get there. But I get it done. So very identical, went through growing pains, was able to actually, I wouldn't say that my business, I ended up selling it, but it was in a reduced size, greatly reduced size from sure. where it was, just like yours. It wasn't sure. national. It was, but anyhow, so I'm most fascinated with your businesses now and how you've grown to become such a large commercial lender. And how do you get your clients and how do you go about that?
Okay. That's a good question. So a lot of networking. I everyone I meet, I get them into my database, and I'm really good at writing. It just, the Lord's blessed me in that, and I can write very quickly. And so I've scripted a kind of marketing method where I write tips a couple times a month and I send them out to my database. And then I utilized like LinkedIn and things to grow my database. So I've got about 20,000 people in my database that I send these tips to, and my son came to work for me, and he added another. So between us, it's about 30,000 or 40,000 people we have wow. that get these tips, and those tips remind them that I'm in the business. A lot of them are past customers, they're referred sources, they're realtors and sure. stuff, and so just by you have to today, man, you have to stay in front of people constantly because they're getting bombarded. I mean, right now with the election, I mean, I get 6 Herschel Walker texts to my phone every 5 minutes, man. It's crazy.
12 pieces of mail.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and mail and all this. Amidst all of this stuff, all of our people that we might be trying to reach or getting, we have to try to remind them that we're in this business, you know? So yes. that's my particular method. I use, you know, like a email database and send it out. And then we do other things, you know, I'll go to chamber meetings and, you know, Rotary, I'm a member of Rotary and I don't really go there for business, but I do get business from people that know me, you know? Sure. So.
And how many employees do you have now? You said your son came to work for you, which is awesome.
He came to work. He's self-employed, but on actual salary, I only have 2. I have my wow. processor and I have my admin person, and then me. Yeah, I found there's 2 really profitable areas of business: being really, really small, really, really big. Right. In between, as you're fighting to get big, you got all the expenses that you're growing it, but you don't have right. the critical mass, right? So you don't have the economies of scale, right? Yeah. So for me, that's what I did after 08. I kind of just got rid of all of these branches and all of these things, and I just went back to doing it. My sales are a third of what they were back in 07, but I'm making a lot more money. And
sure.
And so, and Mary's been with me 16 years. Lori's been with me 6. So like, I don't awesome. Have the turnover and the, sure. the headaches that a lot of like restaurant owners have sure. as they're turning people constantly. And gotcha. So I feel pretty blessed that way.
Good.
You know,
so how did you prepare those 6 wonderful children on how to save and prepare financially for their future, earning, saving, tithing?
So I taught them all exactly the same. Okay. But do all of them follow it? No. Okay.
Absolutely.
But
not.
I taught them all. I taught them first 10% goes to the tithe. The next 10% goes to savings, and you guys can spend the rest, mm-hmm. you know? And if you're starting down here at 18, 16, you know, they're young, mm-hmm. you know, they can have so much money. I also didn't just buy them cars. They had to, I told them I would match whatever they saved up. So they had to save up. And here in Georgia, it's 16, right? So they had to save up early to get up to something. And, you know, you can't buy a car now with less than 5 grand, right? So they had to save up $2,500 at least of their own money before I would, right. you know, match it. But my daughter, Carrie Ann, has nailed it. She's just, she I mean, without thinking, 10% goes to the, every time she gets a check, boom, boom, 10 to tie, 10 to savings. Awesome. And then she spends the rest. And she's, even though she's going to college, she's built up some money, you know? And, nice. And so it's, that's just a, you know, a good plan, you know? And,
absolutely.
But my oldest son, he didn't do it, you know? Right. So, yeah. You know, you can lead a, what is it? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right?
That's it.
You know,
that's it, exactly. So. I feel similar challenges with my crew as well.
So, you know, Paul, I'm since you're in financial planning and insurance and things, I want to get your feedback. What do you think of what's happening now with the rates being raised so much by the Fed and you know, how that affects things with people's money and their retirement and things like that?
Sure.
Why don't you?
Yeah, I think it unfortunately affects it dramatically. For example, folks that have a 401k and they left a company, they've seen at this point close to 30% loss mm-hmm. of the entire value of their portfolio. And it's really sad. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be a quick fix. I think it's going to be a long situation where their stock market continues to be up and down a lot, but mainly down a lot ongoing for the next several years. Not that I'd like to predict gloom and doom, but I think that's the reality of it. We had such a bull run for what, 15 years, 14, 15 years, where the market just knows no end. And we were due a correction, but unfortunately, you know, a lot of the policies now, the way they're set and so on, have driven the inflation. And the inflation, when you have high inflation, the only way to curb it is to increase the interest rate to slow down the economy so people aren't borrowing and doing what they're doing and purchasing things. And I know that's got to, at some point, you know, start slowing you down a little bit, but it sounds like you've prepared very well for that. Tell me about how you did that.
Well, you know, I think the inflation piece affects the middle and lower income people a lot more than it affects the wealthy who can handle a, you know, $4 gas or sure. much better. The people that are buying commercial properties generally are that upper, they're wealthier.
Right.
And so I haven't seen them slow down in their acquisition so far. And the banks haven't really, like, they have money. They're still willing to lend, so they just need to find good borrowers, right? So,
sure.
So the dynamics of my marketplace are still there. Even though the interest rates have gone up, they haven't gone up near as much as the residential. You know, for all the years I've been in commercial, the residential rates were always lower than the commercial rates. About 6 months ago, that flipped.
Wow.
And now I can still get a rate, you know, 5.96%. And I was talking to someone today, he's like, the residential's in the sevens now. So,
yeah.
So it's just, you know, it was, I mean, that's more than double in a 4 month span. And so, but I do have reserves. I do have money set aside. I am cautious because I realize that it's possible.
Sure.
It could hit me. It
right.
probably should hit me, you
right.
know, but it hasn't yet. And I'm pleasantly surprised. So you know, so I tell everyone, you got to work. If your business is successful right now or it's doing good, you have to keep working it and then be ready to pivot if there's a crash, you know.
Sure.
If I'd have been quicker back in 2008 pivoting, I could have saved myself a lot of damage, but I just kept thinking it was going to turn around anytime.
Right.
And a year later, it still wasn't turning around and I was broke. So I think being ready to pivot quickly, I plan on, what happened in 2008 was private money became very prevalent. I have my own private money. So,
yes, sir.
So for me, I'm ready if that happens where I can loan those, you know, loans
sure.
to borrowers. So hopefully that'll play out well, but I agree with you. The market's not gonna do well. It can't, you know, the stock market rose on low inflation and low rates, and now you don't have either. And,
right.
And it just can't stay up there. It just can't. And even though it's corrected some, you know, you had mentioned policies. There are things that are being done that, like the Fed committing so hard to raising, they're not gonna soft land this thing. It's gonna hurt.
Yes, it is.
You know, and people just need to be ready for it. I hope they take it serious. I can't tell you how many times I talk to people and like, well, yeah, but my business isn't gonna be affected. I'm like, I beg of you, you know,
everybody's going to be affected.
Is going to be affected. Please right. think with your head, you know,
right.
I did a podcast show, top realtors in Atlanta, and we were interviewing realtors all year, and you know, back in January, February, March, they're like, I hope it slows down soon because this is so crazy and this is so busy, and even if it slows down a little, everything's still going to be fine, you know, it'll just get back to normal. And and now those people are like, they got hit blindsided because literally volume crashed 60%.
Yes.
And 60% is not a recession. That's starting to teeter on depression, you know?
Yeah.
And so that industry is in the toilet. And are there still sales going around? Yes, but there's no more refinances. And there's a lot less sales because even if, say, I wanted to sell my house, I got a 2% rate.
Right.
What am I going to sell it and get into something that's still, the prices are still up there, you know?
Yes,
and,
they are.
And get into something where I'm at 7? I mean, why would I do that? I wouldn't. And neither would a million other people, you know, in this town. So there's pain coming, man. Just people, please be ready and talk to your people that know and get their advice, you know?
Sure.
So.
Yes,
like you, Paul.
I totally agree. Well, hey, we love to help people, and we really, our strategy right now is safe money, protect your money.
Yeah.
And we have multiple ways to do that. And I'd love to talk with you offline here about that. And any of our listeners that want to set up a brief a strategy session would love to talk to you about ways to avoid the taxes in this situation, ways to immediately recover some of your loss from the stock market, and to ensure future growth, controlled growth that is for sure, is certain, and have the ability not to lose any more money.
So Paul, how are you planning then for your retirement and succession? Why don't you
share that? Similarly, people, you know, have different opinions about investments and so on. But I truthfully have invested heavily in cash value life insurance policies. And the reason I've done that is, number one, it's tax-free. So I put money into it over a period of time, tax-free. I can take all the money out on the back end tax-free, and that's huge. If you're, you know, in a 37% tax bracket like we are, that's enormous to avoid that tax, to be able to do that. Also, all those policies that are accruing, you pretty much can be your own bank in a sense. You said you had private money. That's kind of my private money is you know, just, you know, millions of dollars sitting there that's accruing interest and at a clip historically of about 8.9%, and it can go up to 10 now. But still, when you're having double digit growth like that, I mean, if you just have 7%, you're going to double your money every 10 years. The law of 72, rule of 72. So that's how I've done it. Also, very involved in fixed index annuities, which are set up with a zero floor, so you can't lose any more money, and you can still have growth. And a lot of these annuities now offer a bonus. So let's say you have lost 20% in your stock portfolio, you can immediately take that money, put it into a fixed index annuity with no tax consequences, immediately have 20% added to your balance upon transfer of the money, and so that's huge.
Wait. Say that again?
Yes.
How does that work?
Correct. So let's say you had $1 million that you wanted to invest. It was either it needs to be a qualified account, or it could be cash. You would take the money. You would not pay taxes on it. You would transfer it from one qualified account to another, which would be our funds, our IRA funds, fixed index annuity. And upon transfer, if it was $1 million, and it takes a little while to transfer because everybody's moving their money to these funds, obviously, because they can get 20% bonus right then. When the new money moves, your new balance would be $1.2 million. And
so what's the 20% bonus? Where's that coming from?
It's coming from the companies that fund it, because they're cash rich, extremely large insurance companies. Annuity is an insurance product,
right?
And it's based on sound financial concepts of compounded interest.
So they're buying the market, basically.
Yes, it's puts and calls. So, okay. Yes, options.
So they're buying options against it, and so that's how they structure their portfolio.
Now, can you pull the cash? Can you pull money out from the cash?
Yes, you. So, but you have to do it on a scheduled run or strategy. So you can pull out 10% every single year of that money with no penalty at all, except paying regular taxes.
So our private fund works where people can invest in. We only do commercial real estate, so so we do loans to people that are, you know, like the one we just did was to a dentist who was closing on the building, but she couldn't close on her SBA loan because she had to get the permits for the interior build out. Yes. Now it's just interior build. She's going to get the
eventually,
money.
Yeah.
And so. We gave it, but the seller wasn't willing to hold it. So she had to close in 2 weeks or she was going to lose it. And the lender couldn't close until she got the permits, which could have taken 4 to 6 months. And so we our investors pull in and we pool it and we loan out that money and we have a first mortgage deed on it. And so people could come in and we make 12%. And we've done this since 2009. And so, it's a way, and some of the people do roll their IRAs into those investments, if they are cash value, they could do the same thing. So there's some synergies there, but it's a way to get a 12% return to leverage something even more if it's coming from those life products. But I would be interested in wanting to hear about that 20% thing.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I want to hear more about your products too.
Now, what if the life company fails? Like, what happens if there's a true calamity, like the monetary system crashes, which, although maybe is not likely, it's probably more likely than it was.
Agree with that.
So what would happen then?
Sure. You have, of course, other insurance companies that insure those companies. And what happens when one company fails in the industry, there's so many strong companies, they typically will step in and take the portfolio or other divide it up. So it's your money's insured through various vehicles, but also in an industry with so many cash rich insurance companies, there's always someone wanting to step in to take it over. So there's state and federal regulations to protect your money.
Right.
Yes, sir.
All right. Good
question. So how did you get this private fund with your co-investors and all that? And what percentage of your life do you have to do that, or do you want to do that?
Who, me?
Yes.
So it is something that like I said, came out of 2009. Back in 2009, as we were beginning to grow the business, I had a lot of friends and family calling up, hey, where can we put our money? Stocks aren't working, bonds aren't working. If you remember 2009, it was ugly.
Sure.
And I'm like, well, we can start loaning it out on commercial real estate. So we just, it's a additional add-on to my business. I'd say of the volume of income that I bring in is probably only 30% of my income. The rest is from placing these loans with banks and life companies and things like that. So I do, it's like having different insurance products. It's another product, but it's one I control. I'm the underwriter on the credit committee. And so I can make the decision and then we post it on our back end portal for our investors and they decide how much of that they want to take. They could put in 100, they could put in 300, whatever they want to take of that piece. And, they have all the documents there, the appraisals, everything, and they can decide for themselves what part they want. I've underwritten it. I've got the exit strategies and everything in place. We're batting 1,000 on that underwriting process,
Wow.
So, even the 2009 fund, because this is a separate fund, but the 2009 fund, which is still going strong, even that one, usually we're at such good leverage, even if the borrower fails, we're able to sell the property and recoup everything plus our gains. Like we have averaged 11.9% since 2009. What's 2009 to now? 13 years, something like that. 13 years. So it's a pretty solid, steady run. So, I do believe if the market does correct hard, and I think a significant recession may be coming. If the banks do stop funding, you know, the first deal we ever did on this fund back in 2009, this is how bad it was in 2009 for your listeners to realize that this could happen again, okay? Yes. And it can happen quickly. In 2009, the first loan we did was a doctor. He was buying the building that his doctor's office was in. The year before, it had appraised at 1.2. He was able to buy it for 600.
Wow.
He was putting down 40%. He had 700 credit scores and great cash flow, and no banks would touch him.
Wow.
I mean, that's as strong as you'll ever find, and absolutely, no banks would touch him. That's, we did that loan 12%, and he
that's
paid
a
it.
Good bet.
And yeah, he paid it. And yeah, he had us, once the banks by 2010, they were beginning to tiptoe back in. He refinanced us, you know, a year later, you know, mm-hmm, and 2 years ago he refinanced it again and pulled cash out. That building's worth $3 million. He bought it for $600, and he did a refinance of $2 million. I mean, he's just pulled a lot of cash out.
Right. Wow.
And I think that's where commercial is a little different than residential. If the rates have gone up very quickly in residential, but the individual is making that payment, whereas on a commercial property, the tenants are making the payment. So sure, as long as you can calculate the payment and the payments being covered by them, It makes sense. It's right. It doesn't hurt you as much as the checks. You're stroking the check out of your own personal bank account, right? You know? So you know, it's a great diversification strategy. It really is for people to have, not just all their money in stocks or bonds, which really haven't performed well this year at all,
yeah,
and may struggle for many years.
Sure,
they need other alternatives.
They do.
You know?
Excellent. I really enjoyed my time with you. You're very knowledgeable, and I love your creative financing and creative ways that you've fought these difficult economies and challenging situation with banks and so on, and survived and come out the other end stronger, yeah, better.
God, yeah, is we good. Have a lot in common. It's
God
nice.
Is good.
God, yes, is good.
At the end of the day.
Yep.
So all glory to him. And
that's,
I'm
right,
grateful for this day and all that I have. And, this show, and listeners, please give me a call, 678-410-7902, or go online and book a request for a call with me, please, at www.webwealthadvisors.com. We'd love to talk with you, and I say God bless everyone, and we'll look forward to the next show. Hey, Brian, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks
it
for having me.
It was an honor and privilege to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Best of luck to you, and God bless you, sir.